Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation today is our selected verses from Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all that he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of your hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, especially Jim and Deba, on the occasion of your retirement from the ministry, you asked me to preach for this service, and you don't want it to be about yourselves, but about the God whom you have served faithfully in your ministry. But it would be remiss of me if I didn't remind the congregation of the many gifts and abilities that God brought to this congregation through the two of you. We called Jim, but we got Jim and Deb. And the two of you have worked wonderfully as a team in ministry for all of your years here. And as an associate with you for most of those years, I really appreciate having someone at my side who would keep me on task, someone who was mindful of all the details. In your ministry here, Jim, I think one thing that maybe can describe it the best is simply dedication. You were dedicated to your work, and it took a huge amount of dedication to start a Lutheran school in this congregation. And you put in your work more than your share for all those years to make sure that every classroom was covered, that everything would be accomplished for our school. I appreciated the vision that you had for that school from the very beginning. It wasn't just a school that would serve the members of our congregation. From the very beginning, it was going to be a school that would serve our congregation and our community and neighboring congregations. And people from our community found a welcome place here in the school where their children could learn the Word of God. And I think the congregation sees the fruits of that even today, that your school is really a school for not just your congregation, but the community as well. And if there's any area of teaching that I think you excelled in, at least what I noted over the years, is no student was ever left behind. You really paid attention to especially students who struggled with a disability or another, and you taught to their abilities, and you brought them along. And that's important in any classroom. But of course, maybe some of the biggest impact that you had on the congregation was just music. Jim, your choirs have been just fantastic over the years. And one gift that you had that should be noted is that you not only developed really good singers, and we heard some of those voices this morning, but you also allowed people who could have just average voices sing in your choir and learn how to sing. And that's why your choir has always been around 25 or 30 people. Most congregations don't enjoy that much participation. Your organ playing is fantastic. Not in the sense that there are better organists in the world, more accomplished, but sometimes when I hear those really, really good organists, it seems to be about themselves, their music. And I've always appreciated that you matched your music with the message. And if we sang a faith that shines more bright and clear, you could hear that in the orchestration or registration of the instrument, the organ. So in all of your music, it matched so beautifully with the message that God wanted to bring his people. And Deb, well, Jim had those abilities, and you shared some and many of those abilities. Your strength was especially in being able to write music and make that sound great, the contemporary music people can really appreciate the input that you've had in that group over the years. Last year, my wife and I got to worship in congregations around Milwaukee, especially with our grandchildren. And I think on three occasions, we heard the children's Christmas service that Deb wrote for this congregation and was published by Northwestern Publishing House. And the message of the gospel came, as I sat and listened to that service, I just thought to myself, wow, that's Deb all over the place, because the message of the gospel came out so beautifully and clearly throughout that service. Beyond that, your ability, the children's choirs, both of you so heavily involved in the children's choirs, that over the years it's just gotten better and better and better and better. And what a privilege to be able to serve God that way in your ministry, to be able to make music for the Lord, to be able to sing a new song and bring that music to a congregation. I want you to think about that phrase from our text. I promise this wouldn't be about you, that so the rest of the sermon will be about what the psalmist leads us to think about today. And he tells us to sing a new song. And that a new song in Scripture should always be a song that tells God's story. Listen to what the psalmist says in our text. He says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It's fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy." Play a new song, create a new song. You know, if I were a music writer and I had to write for the secular world, that one must be really difficult. I mean, how many ways can you say, "She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah"? I mean, it's just a limited number of ways that you can come across with that same message. Or if I'm going to write from my personal experiences, who in the world would ever want to know or be interested in my personal experiences? And after a generation, they would just grow old anyway. It must be really tough out there in the secular world of writing music. But when it comes to creating new songs for the Lord, oh my goodness, there's just an endless source of information and motivation for singing to the Lord. And really the theme is always the same. It's God's love for sinners, but the endless variety of situations that you can imagine, that you receive from Scripture, that you learn from the Bible, and then you can apply that all to the lives of God's people. What a wonderful opportunity, what a wonderful privilege to create those new songs for God's people to sing. There's a pattern, actually in Scripture, a template of what a new song sounds like. And it's from the book of Revelation, chapter 5. And the angels are singing this before the throne of God in heaven. It says, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" And they're singing to the Lamb on the throne, and the Lamb is worthy to take the scroll and to open the scroll. And the scroll that he's opening is going to be the history of the world from then on. And it's our history. And only Jesus, sitting at the right hand of God, the Savior who died for us, has the right to open that scroll. He's got our history in his hands. What a beautiful thought that is for God's people, especially today. How is this all going to turn out in our world today? I mean, are you tired of the pandemic yet? But how is it going to turn out? I mean, are we going to go back to a new normal? Will we stop hugging each other altogether? Will we always keep our social distance? Will your kids go back to school this fall? Will you lose your job next week? Will the economy recover? Will this divide in our country, all of this social disorder, finally come to an end? Will we unite again as a country sometime? How is it going to all turn out? What's the history look like? And what is it going to be for like for God's church? Can you imagine? Nobody showed up for church on Easter Sunday. Could have you ever imagined that? And will God's people learn to come back together again and worship? Will God's church survive? The Lamb at the center of the throne has the future in His hands. You don't have to be afraid. God's church will not only survive, it will thrive. Jesus will watch over you. Jesus said something to His disciples in John chapter 5. He said, or Luke chapter 12, He said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." If God has been pleased to give you the kingdom through Jesus Christ, if Jesus died on the cross for your sins, if He rose again and sits at the right hand of God, you don't have to be afraid. Jesus has this all covered. He knows if you're out of work. He knows whether you're anxious about school starting next fall. Jesus knows about all of these things, and He's sitting at the right hand of God, and He's got your future in His hands. The ones marked with the nails that nailed Him to the cross for your sins. So what a beautiful thought. There's always endless sources of imagination and motivation for singing new songs in Scripture, especially when we tell God's story. Second thing you learn about a new song in this psalm is that a new song should be in tune with God's Word. We read in our text, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all that He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love." You know, if you're going to be a choir and you're going to be singing a new song, you need to learn that song and you need to be in tune with what each other is singing. You can't all be singing something different. That's chaos and it doesn't sound good at all. And it's the same with the songs that we sing to God and to one another and to ourselves. All of our songs should be based on God's Word. All of our preaching should be based on God's Word. All of our meditations should be based on God's Word. And friends, we need to be singing those new songs to ourselves every single day. Because every day we fail. Every day is marked by sin in our lives. And I think Christians need to hear the gospel more, even than the people of this world do, because the people of this world, their consciences are usually numb. Our consciences are sharp, and they're honed by God's Word. And when we do something wrong and we know we've sinned against God, we feel it in our heart. And we so desperately need that heart to be healed and that heart to be forgiven. What are your go-to passages? I mean, you should have them right there at your fingertips, right? "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be..." Did I say that one already? Anyway, all of those passages in Scripture are so beautiful. And if you can't remember the Scripture passages, then remember the hymn songs. "Jesus, your blood and righteousness, your beauty are my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds and these arrayed with joy, shall I lift up my head. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Let the water and the blood from Thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power." Dear friends, we really need to hear that powerful message of God's Word in our lives. So sing those new songs to yourselves. We never retire from sinning. And we never retire from the joy of being able to hear God's Word speak comfort to our hearts. So a new song should tell God's story. A new song should be in tune with God's Word. A new song is something we can sing while we wait. Listen to what the psalm writer tells us in our text. "We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. We wait and we rejoice. I don't know about you, but I don't find waiting so easy. I'm one of those guys that when I go to the grocery store or the big box store, and I get to the checkout line, and I look at the 6, 7, 8 lines, and I say, okay, which one is the shortest? And I go to the shortest line, and it never fails. The person in the front of that line can't find her coupons, can't find her credit card. There's a price check on the produce, on a sale item, and I sit there, and I sit there, and this line is going, and one after another is going through, and I'm waiting patiently. We've been waiting patiently for this COVID virus to be done with, but that's hard to do. And yet the psalmist tells us, we wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. How can you possibly rejoice while you're waiting? I want to put another picture in your mind from the grocery store. And just imagine you're in the grocery store and you've got this little 3-year-old girl in your basket in front of you. And you're getting very impatient as that line's not moving. And in the meantime, your 3-year-old granddaughter or daughter is just smiling and singing to herself and looking at the people and waving and looking at the flowers or looking at the candy, or she's just having a grand time. It's a field trip for her. Why? Because she's looking in the right direction and you're looking in the wrong direction. When you look ahead at all the things that are coming or could come, or you don't know what's coming, you know, you get anxious and waiting's hard. But see, that little girl is just looking at her mother and saying, I know mom's got this. I don't have to worry about a thing. And when we keep our focus on Jesus, on what he's done for us, what God has done for us, then we can wait and rejoice at the same time. And our waiting will bear fruit someday when Jesus comes again and restores all things. So sing a new song. A new song should tell God's story. A new song should be in tune with God's word. A new song is something we can sing while we wait. And a new song is something that tells about God's faithful love. The psalmist says to us today, may your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. The word unfailing love is a simple word in the Hebrew language, chesed, and that word is so rich you could write 1,000 sermons on that one word alone. And certainly as that one word alone has been applied to God's people throughout the ages, God's unfailing love was there in the Garden of Eden as he loved the creatures that he had made, and they had just fallen into sin. And God in his unfailing love chases them down in the garden and confronts them with their sin and then promises a Savior. And the rest of the Bible is about God's unfailing love until his son was nailed to the cross and rose again on the last day, on the third day. And it was God's unfailing love that was with Abraham when he went to the promised land, and he waited impatiently for his son to be born. So impatient that he even took Sarah's suggestion and they had a son by her maidservant Hagar. But in spite of all that, God's unfailing love did not reject Abraham. And it was God's unfailing love that Abraham could trust in when he offered Isaac on the altar. It was God's unfailing love that came to David after he committed adultery and murdered his friend Uriah the Hittite. And he disgraced himself in his ministry. But God's unfailing love reached out to David and brought him to repentance and restored him. And it shouldn't surprise us that David wrote 72 new songs, 72 of the Psalms in the Old Testament. Friends, God's unfailing love will never, ever abandon you. And you've experienced that in the story of your life. How many times have you fallen? How many times have you disgraced who you are as a child of God? How many times have you sinned against Him? How many times do we do that every day? And God's unfailing love never fails. His mercies are new to us every single morning. And we can trust in His unfailing love. Wow. Scripture gives us a lot of reasons to sing new songs. And Jim and Deb, I'm confident in your retirement you will find plenty of opportunities to write, to produce, to lead other people in singing new songs in your lives. In fact, this chapter in your life is a new song, and God's unfailing love will be with you and will bless you in your retirement as He has blessed you in your ministry here at St. Peter and has blessed the congregation here through you. And so God's blessings on your retirement. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.